We'll open up to Proverbs 31. We're going to start in verse 21 here in a moment. This, of course, is part two of what we started last week. These last 22 verses of Proverbs 31 are one big Hebrew block of poetry. They're an acrostic. Each Hebrew letter, there's 22 of them, has a word that begins that's in every single one of these verses. And they start off alphabetically. We would think they're the ABCs of an excellent wife or an excellent woman. And so if, just in case you're not able to catch every word as we go through, I've printed them up and put them out on the table in the foyer if you want to pick one up to make sure that you have the right words. But as we go through, we'll talk about each word and we'll try and recognize that as we go along. Last week, whenever we went through, we noticed that this woman is selfless. She is not concerned about self in any way. Whenever she finds extra money, so-called, she goes out and she buys a vineyard, and she plants in it, and she's ready to harvest from it. She takes time. She gets up early in the morning, even when it's dark outside, and she's getting ready for her family food and to prepare the task that lay at hand. You start to go through and to see that she does her husband good all the days of her life. This thing even begins before she was married, when you look at it. Then, as we ended in verse 20, it talks about that she even gives to the poor, that she sees after them. Now, looking at verse 21, the alphabetical word here, since we're halfway through the alphabet, is the word not. It's what it's translated with. I know they don't look like in alphabetical order because we're reading English and not Hebrew. Be glad for that. As we go through and to see, it's what is she not? Well, verse 21 says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She has no fear of winter. Sometimes to think of families, go back some years, don't think of electricity and warmth and those kind of things, but to imagine they would have to start fires. They would have to go out and be out, and they would have to have warm clothing. And it wasn't that necessarily they could go and trade always for it, because they might not have something to trade. But to realize here she is, and she's made this clothing. And the clothing is so good and so warm that she has no fear when wintertime comes. She's already looked ahead. She's already talked about it. She's prudent. And to go, here she is. She's a woman who looks ahead. Looks down the road and says, you know what, we're going to be ready whenever that time comes. And it's interesting that it throws in here, since she's not afraid of the snow for her household, it says for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Scarlet was hard to come by. Very expensive, very costly. Scarlet, basically you had to take your linen or your cottons and you had to dye them. Scarlet was something, if you can imagine, people had to go and find. There were these little worms that were on oak trees, and they would have to pull the worms out, and they would have to get the dye, the excretions from the inside of the worm. That doesn't sound all that fun. But to go, and they would sell those dyes, and they were costly. Remember the field that she planted? Remember the vineyard? Apparently the money that she brought in, she had used to buy some of this dye. I doubt she went and got it herself, but she might have. And to see, boy, she's not afraid to work with her hands. But she's not afraid. Fear is not part of her, this excellent wife. There's one kind of fear that is, but we'll leave that for a moment later. Look at verse 22. The next word is coverings. That's our alphabetical word. It says she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This word for coverings, don't think of clothing. This is more so the idea of a bedspread or a quilt. I mean, she really sews. I mean, she really gets after it. Not only making clothing, but now she's making quilts or bedspreads. It says she makes them for herself. Then it says, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. If you remember back in verse 13, it says she looked for wool and flax. Flax is what you take and you turn into linen. She's made this stuff with her own hands. She planted a vineyard. She has a field. She keeps her eyes open for wool and flax. She takes the flax. She sews it. She takes it together. If you remember even back in earlier verses, back in verse 19, it says she grasped a spindle. I mean, she works this thing together. And to realize, she makes fine linen and clothing for herself. Then it throws in purple. I mean, purple. I mean, that's another dye. That one was different. Didn't come from a worm. they had to have guys that this was their living. As a living, they would go down and they would dive into the Mediterranean Sea. They'd have to hold their breath, dive down, get these shellfish off the bottom, bring them back up, all to get these little excretions that are in the linings of the stomachs. They could get one drop per shellfish. If you went to a place where they dyed these materials, you'd just see a big old pile of empty shellfish. So apparently she's bought this dye too. Maybe she went and got it herself. I don't know. But to realize she has these things. And it's not because she's always prodding her husband saying, hey, I got to have this. She works with her own hands. I mean, she is not afraid of work. I mean, it's like it just says it over and over and over again. This is an excellent woman. How many of you ladies are excellent women? That's the question to ask. Are you ready to work with your hands? He's not talking about people who can't work. That's not what he's dealing with here. He says, are you willing? Are you willing to do that? Look at the next verse. Verse 23. The word here is known. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. This is kind of interesting. Her husband's known in the gates. They all know who he's married to. Because everybody knows her. It almost makes it sound like not so much that she's his wife as much as he's her husband. I mean, she is just that widely known. Her husband sits in the gates. If you can imagine, especially in Solomon's time, to sit in the gate, that might sound like an odd thing. We wouldn't think of sitting in a door. That's not the idea. Sitting in a gate, they had at the front of their walled cities a little place, we might call it kind of like a foyer, and it was walled off. And so whenever some other dignitaries would come in and want to talk to you, they would come into that chamber because you didn't know if they might want to fight you, and you wouldn't want to let them right on into the town. And so whenever they come into the gate, it would be laid out. Solomon came up with the idea. There's about six chambers off on the sides. All those guys who sit in those chambers know about this woman. That's how widely known she is. Her husband's known in the gates. That's where a lot of things happened. Even the dignitaries are there. He says, when he sits among the elders of the land, even among the distinguished people, he's known. So to be an excellent wife, you need to consider who you're going to marry. That needs to be a thought. It can't just be anybody. To consider that. Look at verse 24. The alphabetical word here is linen garments. It says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Notice, she doesn't just make these quilts and clothing for herself and her family. Now she makes them to sell. She's going to gain money. Apparently she's made enough to buy the land earlier on in these verses to have a vineyard. But here it points out, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen, even to go with it. I don't want to say accessorize, but that's kind of the word that comes to your mind, isn't it? I mean, everything's laid out. She doesn't just use this stuff for herself. Now, think back in your mind to verse 20. Who does she give some of this to? She gives it to the poor. So is it all about the money? No, it's not. She cares about her family. She cares about to provide for her family. And she even cares, hey, here's the work, I'll sell it. Look at the next verse, verse 25. The alphabetical word here is strength. Well, what kind of strength does she have? It says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Here's what she's really clothed with. It's not about the clothing anymore. She's clothed with strength and dignity. Now, where is real strength going to come from? Is it going to come from her? Because that's not really strength at all. You think of Ephesians 6, where it talks about, be strong in the strength of the Lord and His might. There's a spiritual side to this woman for sure. And she's going to stand in that strength. She's going to be dignified. Now, the word here, dignified, doesn't mean, don't think of snooty. Sometimes that's the mindset we get when we hear dignified. We think of somebody who's overly dignified. But she has dignity. It's interesting. In Titus chapter 2, you want to know what it brings out about what the older women are to teach the younger women? It's dignity. This woman is clothed with dignity. You think about being clothed with strength and dignity. That's what you see when you see somebody. Tonight, you see clothing. Well, it says she's clothed with strength and dignity. Whenever you see her, that's what you see. You see the strength side, and you see the dignified side. That's an excellent woman. Notice here, when it throws it in, he says, and she smiles at the future. What do you think about the future? If we have no spiritual idea here, we go, it's uncertain. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's going to happen. If we're spiritually minded, we go, it doesn't matter what happens. The Lord's going to take care of us. It's only going to get better. Because we're not talking about physical. We're talking about spiritual. Hasn't God promised that everything we encounter is going to lead to us being formed to the image of Jesus in Romans 8? If we can't smile at the future, if the excellent wife can't smile at the future, who is she relying on? It's herself. If she relies on the Lord, you can smile at the future because you know what it holds. It only holds things that are going to get better. Doesn't mean there won't be difficulties, but you have a rock to stand on. Look at the next verse. Verse 26. Here's the word. Her mouth. We wondered about this one. Her mouth. Well, what about her mouth? Well, verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know what comes out every time she opens her mouth? It's wisdom. It's not slander. It's not gossip. It's not hearsay. It's not guessing. It's wisdom. It's always wisdom. In Colossians 2:3, it says, all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found only in Jesus. So to carry this idea forward to today, guess where she makes her stand? If every time she opens her mouth, all you get is wisdom, she's standing in Jesus. And that's who she's relying on. Now, you look through here, it says, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, this one's kind of interesting to me. In verse 26, where it says teaching, you might have a footnote. It says law. Now think of this for a moment. The law of kindness is on her tongue. Normally when you think of law, you don't... Let's use the word grace for a minute with kindness or mercy. Law, mercy. They normally go together? You get caught doing something wrong? Do you want law or mercy or both? I just want mercy. I don't want law. I know what law is going to give me. It's going to give me discipline. We're not always ready for that. But to go on her tongue is the law of kindness. It uses the word law because it's something that she's not going to break. Kindness. You want to know what you'll always find an excellent wife? Kindness. In Proverbs 19, it talks about the one thing that a woman wants is kindness in her husband, loyalty. Now, guess what she's going to give too? Kindness in everything. Every time she opens her mouth, you're going to get wisdom. Every time she speaks, you're going to get kindness. Never rudeness. Never somebody who's taking their eye off of Jesus. It's always kindness. Think about this. Women, have you ever noticed in another woman that she is just kind to the core and admired that lady and thought, I wonder why I'm not like that? Her strength is in Jesus. kindness is what you're going to find on her tongue. You're going to always find that. Wisdom will be on her mouth. Kindness will be on her tongue. That's an excellent wife. Look at the next verse. Verse 27. The alphabetical word is she looks. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's always looking out after her house. Not the physical structure, the household. Think of the people that are there. She's always concerned about them. This is not the idea of anxiety. She's always wondering, what can I do to help? Where do I step in? How can I do something here? What's the best way to look ahead and get to this? Remember, she's always talking wisdom, so guess what she has in her head? It's wisdom. She's going, what kind of kindness do I need to show to my children? What do I need to show them that's wisdom? What about even to my husband? He needs kindness too. And to look here, and it says, she looks well to the ways of her household. She looks well. I mean, she looks at it. She goes, what can we do to make this better? Now, if you notice for the rest of the verse, it says, and does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't just sit around and twiddle her thumbs. And as you can tell through the verses that we've covered, she's a busy lady. Idleness is not part of her. She's not just about sitting around doing nothing. She wants to teach her children something better than that. She wants to lead, help her husband lead in a way that's better than that. And she wants to have something to share with the poor whenever the opportunity comes. If you notice the next verse, verse 28, the alphabetical word is rise up. It says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, kind of leaves you hanging for a second, doesn't it? It says, her children, says, they rise up and bless her. They speak good words about her. I would almost be afraid if as a mother, as a wife, if the only time you ever heard good words were on Mother's Day or on your birthday or something along those lines. Because this is not talking about that. This is saying they rise up. I mean, they bless her. To bless means to speak good words. That's all bless means. Whenever God created the world and he blessed something, he spoke good words about it. It doesn't, and it's not something that's not genuine. Her children rise up and they bless her. And guess who else does too? Her husband does the same thing. He blesses her. He speaks good things about her. What a wonderful thing. Now notice what they say. Look at the next verse. Verse 29. The alphabetical word is many. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Mothers, could you imagine your children coming to you and saying something to the extent of, out of all the mothers in the world, you excel them all. And not because they're going to ask you for something in the next breath, but because that's what they genuinely want to tell you. And after they say it, they just walk away. To think of having that kind of thing said. Because that's what'll happen. If we only get it on specific days, be careful. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. There is basically none that is your equal. A lot of times you see shirts, world's greatest mother, world's greatest father, grandpa, grandma, you see all that. But to see that really dwell in the heart of a child and a husband about their mother or their wife, take that in. That's what they rise and say. Look at the next verse, verse 30. Look at what they've learned as part of the process. The word here is deceitful. Didn't expect that one, did you? Is deceitful. What in the world's going on here? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. charm is deceitful. Ever met a charmer? Somebody who's got a way of smooth talking and they kind of work everything around. Ever met a woman who's that way? Says, you know what? Charm is deceitful. When people are filling you full of all this puff and fluff, look out. Says it's a deceiver. They want something different. So what does that tell you about her children when they make statements like, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all? Are they doing it just for the charm? If they are, it's not because they learned it from their mother. Then says, and beauty is vain. A lot of men and women get caught up in this. We start to think that our existence depends on how we look outwardly. You know what it says about outward beauty? Revlon's not going to like it. It's vain. Nothing. It's useless. Think about that. How many conversations end between a husband and a wife with, don't you know how beautiful I am? Does that ever end anything? Anything ever change because of it? Nope. Yet what do people spend so much time doing? It's all about the vain. Isn't that a shame? This is not just the women anymore. Now we're talking about the men. To spend all that time on something that is completely and totally useless in the eyes of God. And then we say, we don't have time to look at what God wants. That's the scary part. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. It's not about the outward. It's about the inward. It's always been amazing to me that women that are beautiful on the inside never go without being noticed. However, women who are beautiful on the outside all of a sudden kind of mix in with the crowd. The mule's right. His mother was right whenever she talked about this to him. Remember back in verse 1, this is Lemuel's mother's words that he writes down. Notice the second part of verse 30. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The woman who fears Jehovah. Think back in Proverbs 1, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You look through Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. Wonder where she got all that wisdom that comes out of her mouth. It's because she fears the Lord. Wonder how come she's so selfless to do all these things. Wonder how come she's not always looking at herself. Wonder how come it's not about beauty. Wonder how come it's not about charm. Wonder how come loving kindness is always what's coming out of her mouth. Wonder why she's always willing to give all the things that she's done with her own hands and to hand it over for free to the poor whenever she could just as easily sell it for money. It's because she fears the Lord. That's the source of every aspect. All the other 21 letters of this alphabet are all centered around because she has the fear of the Lord. What happens is a lot of times we say, I think a lot of ladies say, I want to be like this woman in Proverbs 31, but they miss out on the one thing that it takes to do it all. The fear of the Lord. Just in case you want to know what the fear of the Lord is, look back real quickly into Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and look at verse 13. Here's a very simple definition that doesn't cover everything. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what the fear of the Lord is. You let God decide what evil is, and you stay away from it. You hate it. you hate it to the point that you would never carry it out. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So come back over to Proverbs 31. If the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, what about a woman who says, you know what, I just want to be idle all my days. I don't want to have to get up early and take care of a family. I don't want to have to work with my hands. I don't want to have to do any of those things. She does not fear the Lord. Sometimes, I know whenever I was reading through this, I got the thought and I said, boy, that sounds like a whole lot of things to do in addition to what most women already do. And then it hit me. This is not an add-to project. This is a standalone project. Charm, hate it. Beauty, physical beauty, stay away from it. Don't spend all your time on useless things. Wisdom, it's going to come from the fear of the Lord. Kindness, it's going to come from the fear of the Lord. All those things. A woman that fears the Lord, her husband, her children will stand up for her and they will bless her. And they will speak good words about her. They will not tear her down. They will not destroy her. They'll do whatever it takes to stand for her. They arise for her already. Look at verse 31 now. The alphabetical word here is give her. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know what? She doesn't have to go around saying how good she is. She doesn't have to go around telling people how great she does things. She doesn't have to lift up her quilt and say, have you ever seen anything better than that? Look at these scarlet clothing. How about that? What about these purple linens? How about that? Look at what I did. I grew it. I brought it in. I used the distaff, I used the spindle, worked it all out, I dyed it myself, I sewed it together, I put it all together, and I even give it away to the poor. She doesn't talk about it. She just does it. She doesn't do it for the praise. She does it for the Lord. And Him only. And to realize her, the things that she does is what will bring about her praise. Her husband sits in the gate. And guess what? All these guys around her are talking about how great his wife is. You can imagine them. They get up early and they say, man, I noticed that the lamp was on early at your house. You know what you had to say? It's my wife. Well, I notice it doesn't go out late. Boy, she must. It's my wife. Sure are some nice clothes you're wearing. It's my wife. Man, I saw somebody down there on the corner that didn't have any money, and they were wearing the same clothes that your wife does. Wonder where she got them from. The works do all the praise. It's not about the works. It's about the fear of the Lord. That's what makes this woman an excellent wife. It'll make a husband an excellent husband too. As we go through these things, I hope it's been helpful to look through and to see and to start asking questions. I wonder questions about being an excellent husband, but to ask and answer the questions of, are you an excellent wife? Is there more to strive for? I think there is for all of us. If there's anyone here tonight, if we can be of any aid, will you come while we stand and sing?